This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Yeah. Oh, Philip said at the core of the church right here, man. Amen for that. That is fantastic today. We want to be cautious, but we do not want to be fearful, do we? Amen, man. God said, no, I did not give you a spirit of fear. He said, he has come to do all those things. Well, 2 weeks ago, I talked about two different groups of people. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 65. By the way, powerful worship. Powerful worship today. Jennifer, thank you for helping us out today singing. And groups are gone and traveling and sick and different things or staying out because someone may be sick, whatever reasons. But I love our worship group. I love our worship group. As I've traveled to other churches over 4 weeks, the last 4 weeks, I love our worship team and I love our worship here at Prayer of Faith. It is fantastic. And I thought as I was up there playing, I hit a few wrong notes. And I thought, it is hard to play music because you have tears in your eyes filling those up. Now, Susie doesn't need music. She's so fantastic. So she can just play with tears in her eyes, but not me. I need to see those notes. And man, just powerful, powerful worship. So thank you. Thank you for your word during that. I love that. But as we turn to Isaiah chapter 65, 2 weeks ago we talked about two groups of people. The one that said, Lord, don't let me go back to where I used to be. Do not let me go back to that old life. And then there's another group that said, Lord, these trials are too much. Could I please go back to the old life? One said, let me go back to the old life. And the other said, let me go back to the old life. But before that, one said, don't. And one said, please let. Please let me go back to the old life. And the other one said, please don't let me go back to the old life. And today we're going to talk about two different groups of people as well. Those that sought God. And there's times we may be going through things and we call out and say, God, where are you? I'm looking for you. And I don't see evidence of you in my life. And there's others that aren't seeking Him. And all of a sudden, bam, they come face to face with the living God. And Isaiah starts out this way in chapter 65, verse 1. And it says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I don't know if anyone in here today is of that group. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Man, it is amazing sometimes where God shows up. Sometimes even as Christ followers say, God, please don't come in here. Please don't look on me right now. And He says, man, I'm revealing myself to you right here and now. And He says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. You ever find something you weren't looking for? That could be good and bad. I wasn't looking for trouble, but I found it. I wasn't looking for blessings, but I found it. We have got to clean our eyes. And we have got to remove the scales from our eyes. And we have got to wash ourselves of impurity. And we've got to be aware when God is revealing things to us. God, I thought this was a bad thing. How can you make this out to be good? I revealed myself. That's how. And I was found by those that did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I. Here am I. All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, now listen carefully, verse 5. Keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. Let me read this version as well, verse 5. Yet they say to each other, don't come too close, or you will defile me. I am holier than you. These people are a stench in my nostrils and These people are a stench in my nostrils and an awesome smell that never goes away. Stay away from me. You may defile me because I am holier than you. Whew, that is a scary place to be, amen? When he talks about these things, the Gentiles sought God. And the Jews, God was seeking them, but the Jews would not respond to God at times. When we look at these two groups, we look at the Jews and the Gentiles, and we have to be very careful in verse 5. We have to be aware. We don't have to be careful. We have to be aware. And we're aware by removing, again, the scales from our eyes. That we don't feel overconfident in our spiritual progress to the point where we don't become aware or don't acknowledge our own sin before God. Okay, now that sounds simple enough, but there's people that sat here and said, don't come near me because you're going to dirty me. You're going to defile me, and I'm holier than you are, so I need you to stay clear. For I am too sacred for you. You think we can't get there? We can get there easily. My gosh, I have come so far from where I used to be. Where that group says, Lord, don't let me go back to where I used to be. I am here now. I have arrived. Don't come near me. You will defile me. Yet, we say we don't do those sins, but we've picked up this other group of sins that we do along the way. Now, part of that is pride, that we think we've arrived. So we have to be careful of those things. When we press on, and we read in chapter or verse 6, and it says, see, it stands written before me, I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord. Because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and they defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. Yikes. Can you imagine? Just think about, other than our youngest ones, the babies, but let's think of our younger ones. Let's go to the teen group there, young adults, and then the rest of us. Think if God said, Oh my, here's what I'm going to do for you. I will measure into your lap the full payment for your former deeds. We talked a little bit Wednesday night about that. You know, why sometimes do we not pray or ask others to pray for us? We don't want people to know what we've done. Now, God already knows, so we're not keeping any secrets from God. He knows that stuff. If you think you've got a secret from God, come talk to Pastor Eric, myself, and we'll clarify that you're not. You've got no secrets from God. He knows it, okay? But it says, I will measure into your lap full payment for your former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes and people say, don't destroy it, there is still a blessing in it. So will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. Sharon will become a pasture for flocks in the valley of Achor, a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. And I think, you know, right now, all the things that we go through, all those trials and those tribulations and the struggles and the difficulties, God, can you not just make this path straight and narrow, but put me on it? He says, I'll make the path straight and narrow. But to get to it, you've got to figure out which gate you're going down. You see, you went down that wide open gate. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. He says, my path is straight and narrow, but you have to choose which gate you want to enter the path by. Are you going the worldly way? Or are you going this way? Through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When they went there, what he said, I'm going to give this place to your descendants, and there they shall live. We think about our spiritual progress, and we think about the things that we go through and the things that we've been through. He says, all these things are for the display of God's glory. Our trials are for the display. A lot of times we don't want to display what we're going through. For the display of God's glory and the redemption of sinners. Well, I'd rather not have my sins on display for the glory of God for all to see. Sometimes there's no better testimony. There's no better testimony than you going through things and you standing up in the midst of it. You say, man, but by the glory of God and the grace of God, I can boast in what? Myself? No. I can only boast in the cross. Verse 11 goes on to say, but as for you who forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword, and all of you will fall in the slaughter. He says, for I called you and you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. And you did evil in my sight, and you chose what displeases me. Whoops, okay, great. He's talking about me. In case you're not aware, he's talking about you guys. He's talking about us all. I've called you, and you did not answer. I spoke, you didn't listen, and you did evil in my sight, and you chose to do what displeases me. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. And my servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts. But you will cry out from anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name for my chosen ones to use in their curses. The Sovereign Lord will put you to death, but to His servants He will give another name. To His servants He will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past troubles, listen carefully, church, for the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. When we turn and walk away and we say, God, please do not let me go back to where I was. We don't have to. But the toughest thing to do is when we turn around and say, there's some familiar things there. And there's some familiar people there that I really miss. I feel out of place over here. It's kind of comfortable here. Remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about the dog that vomits and then eats its own vomit? And the pig is washed and goes back to that little mud hole. He says, man, if you will just follow me, if you will find the gate to the straight and narrow path, if you will abide in me and spend time with me, your past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. You know, the Jews went out and they were preparing lavish tables and banquets and feasts. And going through a lot of hubbub to entertain, much to the shame of the Gentiles, because they wouldn't go through that. And he said, You don't need to put on that show for me. And you don't need to put on that show for them. You don't need to put on that show for anybody. Worldly people bless themselves with worldly possessions and goods. And godly people bless themselves with Him and in Him. Man, I don't have to bless myself with a bunch of stuff. I can bless myself with Him. I can bless myself in Him and being in Him. That's where I find value. That's where I find life. He said, you don't need to go through this. Those that worship me, I am the bread of life. They won't thirst, as it mentioned. They won't be hungry, as it mentioned in there. It says, see, I will create, in verse 17, see, I will create new heavens and a new earth. New heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. We talked the other day also about the new man. He says, if you will put on the new man, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, we forget that. You are a new creation. Great, I'm new. Whoa. You're new in Christ Jesus. Don't forget the price that was paid on that cross for you. Oh, I made this new creation thing, but I was kind of making it my own thing. You make it your own thing in Christ. It's a new you in Christ. Don't go out and do it alone. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. You mentioned this morning, joy will come in the morning. We have sorrow at night, joy will come in the morning. And joy will continue to return. We must remove the scales from our eyes to see and recognize what joy is. There's joy right there, making a little noise. There's joy in the nursery. Jonah just turned 3 the other day. Matthew turned 3. August just turned 1. Caleb just turned 1. There's joy when we look around. Rex, if you're looking and watching us today, you didn't turn 3 or 1, but you had another birthday today. We have birthdays. That's joy when we wake up and say, I celebrated another birthday. Do you think Miss Dorothy woke up and said, dang it, I'm 90. Dang it, I'm 91. No, she woke up every day. Whew, praise God, I'm still here. Who can I hug? She found joy. We have to learn how to recognize it. Be glad and rejoice forever. That means always. In what? In what I have created. I think He created every one of us. We should start finding joy in each other. You can look at me all day long and find fault in me. Don't make a list. If you are, my wife's got one already started. She'll give you a heads up on that. Save you a whole bunch of time. I don't mean that she sits and points out all my faults. I'm just saying she knows them. But we can do that for anyone. Let's find joy in one another. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. Do you know that our Father takes delight in us? Well, we just read, okay, you do these things and it displeases me. Okay, but in general, we are His delight. We're delight to Him if we follow His ways. I take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. You know, when we start rejoicing in the blessings we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ and the fact that He is our Father and a good, good Father, our pain and suffering goes way down. Our crying, our weeping, our mourning, our worry, our fear goes way down. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more, it says. I think when we look at these things, let me just read on and then we'll recap it. He says, never again will there be in it infants who live but a few days, or older people who do not live out their years. Those who die at 100 will be thought mere youths. Could you imagine? Miss Dorothy is one of our young people over at Ground Zero at 92, and 100 years old will be considered mere youth, it says. Those who fail to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. We've got to start enjoying the work of our hands as well, church. Enjoy what we put our hands to. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This starts out with people that say, I'm not even looking for God. I'm not looking for Him, but I, God, revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Now it talks about some people that go out seeking God. God, where are you? He said, I'm here, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to give you drink, and I'm going to give you life. Godly people bless themselves in Him. Not like worldly people bless themselves in worldly goods. Now, there's nothing wrong with having some worldly goods, so long as we're not blessing ourselves with those worldly goods day in and day out and saying, I have to have these things to feel worthy. I have to have these things to bless myself. But there's nothing wrong with having things that you work hard for. Don't make them your idol. In this day and age, it is just fine to be cautious, but not fearful, as I said. He is our strength, amen. He is our portion. He is our fortress. He is our strength. He is our truth. He is our boldness. Is He our protector, though? Yeah, He is our protector. And He makes us forget the past. He forgets the past. He sees it no more. He makes us forget the past and present troubles. We have to cleanse ourselves, church. We have to cleanse ourselves. Young people, Ground Zero, young adults, we have to cleanse ourselves. We have to take that into the hallways of school, and into our homes, and into our circle of friends. People not of the Ground Zero and young adult age, we have to take those places into our homes and into our places of work. We have to cleanse ourselves. We can't stand there and say, God, where are you? I'm looking for you, but I can't find you. And then stand next to someone says, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what happened. I found God and I wasn't even looking for Him. This dude showed up in the middle of my worst nightmare. And He revealed Himself to me. We don't want to be the ones standing next to them as Christ followers. Saying, oh my gosh, how did you find Him? I've been looking for Him. I've been calling on Him. We're back on. All right. And He says, I can't, and we say, I can't find Him. You got that, Christian. Hang in there, man. There's joy in that. I find great joy in that. As a matter of fact, church, we're going to take a moment in just a minute here, and we're going to pray over Hosanna in the nursery. She's moving on. She's got a job in South Carolina, somewhere out east there, South Carolina. And we're going to take a moment just to bless her and pray over her at the end of service here in a minute. And then we're going to pray for someone new to come in that's just as wonderful as she was. We had Carissa, and then she's related to Carissa. Carissa was kind enough to send us her. She doesn't have anyone to send us, but that's okay. We still love her. We were hoping there might be another relative in that line that they could pass on. But we're going to have the opportunity to pray for her as well. Why? Because she has been a joy to our young people. Remember back when we had that baby explosion here, Prayer Faith? And she's been a blessing ever since. Two groups of people. I'm looking for God and I can't find Him. God has revealed Himself to me and I wasn't even looking. What do you suppose is going on there? The gospel message is relevant to both groups. I mentioned Wednesday night, we have opportunity and we have the privilege to take our faith to other people and to share Jesus Christ with other people. But let me tell you something. I had a leadership training at work the other day that a young man gave. And as he went through it, I said, all I heard through that whole thing was, how do we behave as a Christian? Because he said, you have to earn the right to call yourself a leader. And I thought, be very careful, church. Keep away. Don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. I'm holier than thou. When we slap on that Christ follower, we have to earn that every day. Now, when I say that, I mean that we've accepted Jesus Christ. Man, we're going to be in His presence when He calls us home. But to say Christ follower, and we're not following past that point, we have to be very careful. Our blessings will be minimal as we're up there in heaven because of our work here on earth. That's all I mean when we say we have to earn it. We've been given this privilege and this honor and this blessing to have our name written in the book of life. What are we doing about that today? And what did we do about it yesterday? By the way, tomorrow, what are we going to do about it? I'm going to take an opportunity to pray. Ryan, if you'll come pray here in a minute. And I want you to think about that message. I want you to think, what are we doing? Have we called on Him? Is He calling on us? Go ahead and come on up, Ronnie. Let's bow our heads.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we just come before You. We humbly seek Your presence. Establish Your kingdom here, Father, on earth just like it is in heaven. And we pray that You give us today our bread that we need, Your daily word. For we're in a time of trouble in this nation, where this nation has gone full of fear. They're letting their fears control them. And we're asking, Father, for Your peace that passes understanding, so that we don't look at the circumstances, but we look toward the answer. And the answer is in Your Son's precious blood. We stand upon the precious sacrifice that You made on that cross. And we look toward the sacrifice that You made on that cross. And we plead the blood upon our families. We plead the blood on our health. And we ask that You'll walk with us every single day and teach us Thy words and help us to be full of joy, because Your word says joy comes in the morning. We give You all the praise and all the glory. We ask that You help us to be the witness that we need to be to this nation, so that when they see us, they'll see someone and they say, hey, why aren't they full of fear? Why aren't they running out and buying toilet paper or a hand cleaner? Why are they acting different? Don't they know there's a terrible thing going on? But all we have, but we know that we're secure in Christ. We know where our Redeemer is. And when we look upon Him, that we're safe. And we just praise You, Father, and we ask You'll help us to be a witness to those that we come in contact with, especially in this time of trouble. And we also ask that You'll help us, forgive us of our trespasses. For You said in Your word, if My people who are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, that I'll hear them from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and heal their land. And Father, right now, we're doing that right now. We're humbling ourselves and we're coming before You as a nation, for the day's been declared today a national day of prayer. So we're doing this all over this nation. We're asking that You would hear our prayers and heal our land, because we are seeking Your face and we're humbling ourselves and we're praying to You. But there is no other answer except through You. And so we ask You to do a mighty work in this nation. Protect Your people. Protect Your people from any man-made plague, or whether it be another kind of plague. It doesn't matter, because this says in Your word that no evil shall befall thee and no plague shall come out of thy dwelling. And we believe Your word. We stand upon Your word. And we claim the blood of Jesus. We plead that blood of Jesus on our lives and our families. And we ask that You'll help us so that we can be filled with joy and not fear, that we can trust in Your word and the light that You've given us, and that we can walk in joy, and that we can share that joy with others. We just praise Your holy name, and we thank You for the provisions that You've made for us, and we ask that You forgive us of our sins, of looking toward the things of this world and not toward the answers, which is in Christ alone. We just plead that blood. And we just praise Your holy name for the things that You've done in our lives. And we forgive those who have come against us. And we ask that You'll help us to walk in that forgiveness so that we can be forgiven. And we just praise Your holy name. And we just ask You to do a mighty work in this nation. Cause revival to come across this land. Turn Your people back to You. Those who have led from the past and strayed from it, help us all to come back to the cross, back to the complete and accomplished total work that was done at Calvary. And that we can rely on that, not on our own works, because You said no flesh will glory before You. For we know our works are nothing but a filthy rag. But we know the accomplished, finished work of Jesus Christ is what we have to look toward. And we praise Your name. And we thank You for the work that You've done on Calvary. And we praise Your holy name. And we just give You all the praise, all the glory. It all belongs to You. And we ask that You'll help us to remember that and to walk in that way and to walk in that forgiveness and that love and that joy. And we ask that You'll touch our family members and those who aren't here, that You'll touch them and give them peace that passes understanding, and give us the peace that passes understanding, so that we can walk in joy. And we give You all the praise, all the glory. It is Yours. And we thank You so much for that mercy that You've given us. We just worship Your holy name. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ronnie. You know, the world is looking to the church to see how we react and respond to things going on in the world. So remember that as we walk, that we don't walk in fear. I had a bad dream that this day came and went, and I said, uh-oh, I forgot to honor Hosanna. And that was just the worst nightmare type of thing. I thought it was Monday, and she was gone, and there was no way to make it back up. So I'm glad that was just a dream, a nightmare, if you will. Hosanna, as we said, is moving on. She's moving to South Carolina, going for a job there. And I just want to take a minute. If we can pray over her, we can honor her. She's been in the nursery raising our young people up and doing an amazing job. She's been so fantastic for us, has an amazing attitude about life and what she does in there. And I know as parents, you appreciate that so much. Can we just stand where we are and just, if you would, just reach your hands out as we pray over her. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Hosanna and her work here at Prayer of Faith. Lord, we ask that you bless her in her future endeavors. Lord, we ask for protection as she travels to her new job, her new place, her new home. Man, we ask, Lord, that just for the work that she's done here, that you would honor her in that work, raising up our King's kids, raising up our young people to be precious children of God. Lord, we ask right now that you would bless her future work. You're preparing a place there for her, that they'll accept her and receive her. We ask, Lord, that you prepare a place that she can worship you, that she can praise you as well. God, here at Prayer of Faith, while we're saddened by the loss of her, we're thankful for the presence of her. God, we pray that a replacement is found for her, but we know there will not be a Hosanna. Lord, today we give you glory and honor and praise today. We ask you to bless Hosanna for her work here at Prayer of Faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's just a small gift from Prayer of Faith. Anything else you want to say? Do you want to say anything? She's going to miss us, man. Well, we're going to miss you. As our worship band comes forward, we're going to praise and worship here in just a minute. Take a minute when you leave today just to thank her for what she has done. You may not have kids in the nursery, but thank her for what she's done. She's done an amazing job here taking care of our kids, and we're going to miss you very much as well. All right. Stay standing. We're going to sing about our Father in heaven and how good he is.